We waited 30 years.
The wait is over.
But this season,
what happens now?
Champions of baseball.
It's time to defend the crown. This is World Champion Dodger Talk.
It's yours, Los Angeles.
Breaking down the world champion LA Dodgers all season long.
So happy, man.
LA Dodgers baseball is brought to you by Chef Marito.
Seasoning partner of the Dodgers.
Navi and tankless water heaters.
For endless hot water, visit tanklessmadesimple.com.
And by Chevrolet.
Buy new roads.
Don't miss an episode and get all the podcasts on the iHeartRadio app. Now your host, LA's favorite Dodger insider,
the city's favorite son.
Here's David Vasay.
Welcome to Dodger Talk. David Vasay with you until 10 o'clock tonight here on AM 570 LA Sports. The Dodgers defeat Diamondbacks 8-3 after a disappointing start to this series last night, losing in 10 innings 6-5. But the Dodgers bounced back, especially with their offense, because it was a bullpen game tonight, a scheduled bullpen game tonight, and they were able to score 8 runs on 16 hits. More encouraging was their guys in the top 6 of their batting order produced the majority of those runs. In fact, those 6 guys has scored 7 of the Dodgers' 8 runs, and they had 13 hits. It starts with Chris Taylor, Muncy, Turner, Smith, Pollock, and Bellinger all had at least 2 hits, and Will Smith continues to swing a hot bat since the All-Star break. He's hitting .318 after his 3 hits tonight in the cleanup spot. 866-987-2570. And a guy that shouldn't be overlooked was A.J. Pollock. He had an incredible month of July, hitting .370 with 7 home runs and 7 doubles. Getting on base tonight, he now extends his consecutive game streak of doing so to 19. So he was hitting 5th, and I would assume for the foreseeable future, A.J. Pollock will be hitting a little bit higher than what he has been during the entire season. But with Trey Turner coming into the fold in the next week or so, we'll see how all of these pieces to the puzzle fit, because that's going to be the tricky part. How do you get Trey Turner to fit in this puzzle with the Dodgers? In 2017, I remember the trade deadline, and all those pieces fit so perfectly. The Dodgers needed 2 really good left-handed relievers out of the bullpen, and they were able to acquire them in Tony Cingrani and Tony Watson. They needed a starting pitcher, and they were able to acquire Yu Darvish. And all the pieces fit perfectly. In 18, they needed a shortstop because Corey Seager was out for the rest of that year. Manny Machado, acquired at the All-Star game, fit perfectly for the rest of the season. How will Trey Turner? We all know Max Scherzer is going to fit perfectly and is a need in that rotation. But how is Trey Turner going to fit? How is Dave Roberts, and what is Andrew Friedman's vision to bring in Trey Turner for the rest of this year? We all know what the vision could be for next year, because Trey Turner gives you insurance to be your shortstop next year in case Corey Seager signs elsewhere. And I have to tell you, knowing Corey as well as I do and knowing people around him, he wants to stay in Los Angeles. Does he want to stay here badly enough to move positions to either first base for the time being or move from shortstop to first to third base? That still remains to be seen. There is a DH in the National League more than likely next season, so Justin Turner could have some DH days if Seager were to move to third. And Chris Taylor's a free agent as well. So how do all these pieces fit? And does this mean that maybe Corey Seager is not part of the Dodgers' future? And at the very least, it gives the Dodgers coverage in case the bidding for Seager gets astronomical. And from their standpoint, it's hard to commit. If the bidding gets for Seager next year, 6-7 years for over $200 million, can you really blame the Dodgers if they're hesitant to do that? Not because Seager isn't a great player. When Seager's healthy, He's a great player. But the problem has been staying on the field. And for the Dodgers, they have had a front row seat to that. So they know that better than other teams. And other teams may be more desperate for his services. So I could see where other teams might be willing to commit those years and dollars to Seager, where the Dodgers might not. And that's why Trey Turner, who is one of the best players in baseball and one of the best shortstops in baseball, comes into play next year in a big way. But how does he fit the rest of this year? How do you fit? We all know Cody Bellinger has not been swinging a great bat this year, but are you going to start giving up on Cody Bellinger? And if you start platooning him, do you lose him for the rest of the year? I don't think you would. I remember 2018 where he just wasn't hitting lefties and the Dodgers were forced to platoon him. They went to the World Series that year. So let's just see the vision that Dave Roberts has for this lineup. And more importantly, let's see the vision that Andrew Friedman had when he was able to pull off a trade not only for Max Scherzer, but also for Trey Turner. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. You heard from Dave Roberts and Tony Gonsolin after last night's game, and it was a bit of surprise to Dave when a reporter relayed that Tony Gonsolin said that his shoulder has been barking in between starts. And Dave was a little surprised by that because he said the training staff has not put that in the reports, or if they have, he was not saying that. But Tony Gonsolin was placed on the injured list today with right shoulder inflammation. And I wish Tony would have said that before last night's game, because he put the Dodgers in a bad spot with a bullpen game today, which brings us to Mitchell White. I know Mitchell White's a guy that was a top prospect in 2017 and now is just a guy, but he may be a guy that's important now with Gonsolin on the injured list. He may be the next man up to take starts until Ryan Pepio, who was promoted to Oklahoma City today, gets more seasoning at that level. And we'll see where all this goes. And Mitchell White could not only buy the Dodgers time to give Pepio more seasoning at Oklahoma City, but also give Danny Duffy some time to get healthy. So all of these things are in play and very fluid, which brings us to Clayton Kershaw. We all thought that he was going to pitch tomorrow at Camelback Ranch, and that still may happen. But before today's game, I asked Dave Roberts whether or not that was still the plan, and he did not seem as definitive as he has been all week long.
You know what, Dave? I wish I had that definitive answer. I think that we're going to get through today and see where he's at tomorrow to see if that plan stays as is. So I can't confirm that. That's our plan. But until he does it and feels good, then I just can't confirm it.
Is everything okay with him?
It's fine. It just doesn't feel, there's still some residual soreness. So I think what just smart is, if there is going into tomorrow, then to push it back. So there's no hard date for him to have to throw tomorrow. So we're just kind of leaving it in his and the training staff's hands.
So fair to say that the aim for next Saturday may be pushed back a little bit?
I think we'll know more after tomorrow, you know. So again, the main thing with Clayton is to get him back so he stays back for the duration of the season and through the postseason. So right now, there's no hard date or deadline right now.
That did not sound convincing. So we'll see whether or not Clayton Kershaw goes to Camelback Ranch. But from what you just heard from Dave Roberts, it doesn't sound like that's happening. And it sounds like even more in doubt is him returning from the injured list a week from tonight at Dodger Stadium against the Angels. So that is another reason why the Dodgers may need Mitchell White to remain in this rotation, with Kershaw maybe being pushed back as far as his return, and now Tony Gonsolin still dealing with a barking right shoulder. 866-987-2570. The Dodgers beat the Diamondbacks tonight 8-3. Let's go out to Oklahoma. Casey is joining us, listening on the iHeartRadio app. Hi, Casey. You're on Dodger Talk.
Hey, Dave. How are you? Talking about Ryan Pepio. I'm on my way back from a Tulsa Drillers game right now. I know he got moved up to Oklahoma City, so I'm excited about that. But I got a chance to see Ryan pitch last Wednesday in Tulsa, and also Andre Jackson got moved up too. Andre is a young man who pitched in the futures game over the All-Star break from the University of Utah, who came into the Dodger organization as an outfielder, but I know the Dodgers are really, really high on his athletic ability, and he's up to 95, 96. And his off-speed stuff needs some work because, he was an outfielder till 3 years ago. So, I mean, I don't think it's polished the way that they think it's going to be. But both of those guys got moved up. That's exciting for me because I go to a lot of Oklahoma City games. But it's kind of a bummer because their first starts are going to be in Texas at Round Rock. So,
yeah.
And I believe tomorrow night Ryan throws for Oklahoma City. So that's going to be exciting.
He's throwing on Monday, actually. We're hearing he's throwing on Monday.
Yep, I keep thinking it's a Sunday for some reason. But anyways, he's a talented kid coming out of Butler, man. I think he's changed his delivery just a touch. He used crossfire quite a bit.
I mean, look at you. Are you a scout, Casey? I mean, you sound like more than just a casual baseball fan.
Well, yeah, I'm actually a high school baseball coach.
There we go.
And I was on the grounds crew there at Oklahoma City for a while. So here we go. But he straightened it out. I think it's made his fastball a little flatter, a little easier to pick up. But what it's done is it's made his changeup. That what makes him devastating and what Mitchell needs to learn. Mitch loves his 12-6 curveball, which is great, but he doesn't throw for a strike enough. Whereas what the difference between Pepio and Mitch is Pepio's best pitch is his changeup, and when it comes out of his hand as a 6'6" guy coming straight over the top, and you can't pick it up any different from his fastball, it's just impossible to hit. I mean, the team they were playing was the A's. I can't remember the Midland A's, and they had some really good players. But I mean, just that changeup that Pepio throws is really devastating. So I'm excited about that. I don't think he's ready yet. I don't think his fastball is ready. He's going to have to get a little more movement to it. He's going to have to spot better. So I don't see him as an option for this year. I think Mitch is a better option for this year just because I just think Mitch, from a mental perspective, from a more of – and Mitch needs to be a starter, not a reliever, because he has to get to the secondary stuff more. But I think Mitch is the better option at this point. But we'll see how Pepio does in Oklahoma City. I'm excited about it. I was disappointed to hear that DJ Peters got put, that got DFA'd.
Oh, Casey, you went into cell hell out there in Oklahoma. How about that? High school coach Casey from Oklahoma and former grounds crew keeper member at the Oklahoma City Dodgers giving us a breakdown of Andre Jackson, Ryan Pepio, and Mitchell White. How about that? He sounded more like an advanced baseball guy than a fan, but I had a chance to interview Ryan Pepio on our second episode of the Extra Innings podcast presented by Corona. If you want to hear that, you can find it on the iHeartRadio app or Apple iTunes, wherever you want. You will be impressed by the maturity of Ryan Pepio and the changeup that Casey was talking about. I've had people in the Dodger organization tell me they compare it to the changeup of Devin Williams, the reliever of the Brewers, relief pitcher of the year last year. That's how good his changeup is. And, you know, last year, no minor league season for Pepio and Andre Jackson. And that's why it's imperative for them to continue to get seasoning and for the Dodgers to allow a guy like Mitchell White, who's been in the organization for a while, to now step up and take this opportunity. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. We're going to take a timeout and check in with Ned Coletti from the Sportsnet LA studios. Dodgers beat the Diamondbacks 8-3 on AM 570 LA Sports.
On air at AM 570, online at AM570LASports.com, and available by podcast on the iHeartRadio app. This is Dodger Talk with David Bassett.
Dodgers come back and beat the Diamondbacks 8-3. Justin Turner with a go-ahead two-run home run in the seventh inning. Albert Pujols with two hits and two RBIs in the final three innings of this game coming off the bench, and the Dodgers were all smiles in the dugout, not just because of the win, but because Max Scherzer finally arrived in Dodger blue, and they remain three games back of the Giants in the NL West. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. We'll get back to the phone calls in just a moment, but Ned, we were talking about Tony Gonsolin and maybe pitching hurt last night. Turns out he was. And how much of an opportunity does that present Mitchell White in the short term?
Well, it obviously presents him another chance, perhaps another start or two. I thought tonight he was maybe his best performance. I think it also gave him a lot of confidence. I liked the way he moved his fastball, inner half, outer half, good slider, and really threw pretty well. Gave up the two-run homer to Calhoun, but other than that, he was pretty strong. As far as Tony goes, you know, it looked like he'd been struggling for a while. You know, he's got great command, as you know. And last year, I think he walked eight hitters in the entire regular season and walked five last night. He's had a couple other games where the command kind of betrayed him from time to time. So, you know, he needs to get healthy. He needs to rest that shoulder and hopefully get back here this season at some point in time. But Mitch White threw well tonight. Bullpen's been used a lot. Nine pitchers last night total, including the starter and Tony. And Dave Roberts went to the pen six times tonight after Mitch, so got to get some innings out of
the starters. Good thing Julio's pitching tomorrow, Ned. Good thing Julio Urias is on the mound for the Dodgers tomorrow, and Mookie Betts will be back in the starting lineup for the Dodgers. Only question is, will it be right field or second base? Can you understand the logic of thinking that second base may alleviate the miles, as he put it before the game, instead of playing in the outfield on that right hip?
Well, we've kind of talked about this just a week or so back with Cody, playing him at first base for a while when the hamstring was a little tender, hamstring, hip, different areas, but still bottom half and where you're using your legs and your mobility. And Dodgers did that for a couple games, give Cody a chance to get in the lineup and stay in the lineup, but also to try and keep him a little bit less running around and striding. When you're in the outfield, your stride is obviously a big part of your game. A little bit different in the infield. I think it'll depend on a lot of different things, but that he's versatile and he gives them that option. This team is loaded with guys that have more than one position, and that's a huge part.
I'm sure it will be in the short term because Trey Turner is on his way at some point, and I'm wondering whether or not you've given it more thought on how the pieces of this puzzle will fit together.
Well, I think Trey Turner is going to be the second baseman, and I think you need to really have Chris Taylor in the lineup. A.J. Pollock has had a player of the month type of July. Cody, as we've talked about many times, has been struggling offensively. Sitting him down for a little while, giving him a break, probably wouldn't be the worst thing, pending, of course, when Trey can get here and come off the COVID IL. So it's a lot of different options. I think you're going to see Bellinger probably a lot in center field, but you've also got to give Chris Taylor his due as well. And I think you're going to see Turner at second base and Taylor in center field a lot, and maybe some left field, but Pollock as well. This is a big, you know, you got to compete. Not that Cody doesn't compete. I don't want to make that kind of statement. But this is a production league, and it's a result-driven league. And when you struggle, sometimes you're going to have to take a break and let somebody else take a spot for you. And I think that Turner probably gives him that opportunity.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up to you, Ned. You're famous for saying this, and Dave Roberts always says it often as well. Competition is a good thing, and because of the injuries and the lack of depth, it seems like the Dodgers have been just forced to keep Cody out there no matter how poorly he has struggled or how much he has struggled. Do you feel like competition now is back into play with all these good players getting healthy?
I love competition. It doesn't matter how good the team is or how good the players are. This team, I think, are a close-knit club. I think they have great respect for each other and a real affinity for each other. But make no mistake, they want to play. And I think that when you have different players that can move all over the diamond, I think it's been part of the success of the franchise, is that players are versatile and players can play more than one spot. And therefore, they are always a so-called quote-unquote threat to play in somebody else's place. And I think that's a valuable, valuable part of this club. Any good club has got competition. So I think when you add Turner to this group, Trey Turner, suddenly now you've got even more competition. And you watch the way that, CT3 has developed. He's created competition. Pollock, the way he's played this month, he's created competition. So on and on and on, you've got more and more people that are fighting to play and have earned a right to play. So that, to me, is one of the great attributes of this club and one of the defining attributes of a successful team.
The reason why Ned has a job on TV is because he was a successful GM for the Dodgers. And back in the day, not that long ago, the trade deadline used to be today, July 31st. And on this day in 2008, Ned Colletti was able to pull off the trade for Manny Ramirez. And the Dodgers went to the NLCS for the first time since 1988 when he acquired Manny. What do you remember the most about that day and about that season?
Oh, boy, a lot of great things. That trade really came to be the morning of the deadline. I had talked to Theo Epstein in Boston the night before, and he was asking me about Andy LaRoche and the player he was offering me back. I did not have enough interest in to make the deal he was thinking about, and I had seen on one of the bottom lines of television that he thought he had traded Manny to Miami. And when I said, hey, congratulations on the deal, looks like you've alleviated a situation, because Manny had been a little bit disruptive in the Boston clubhouse, allegedly. And the tone of his voice told me that the deal wasn't going to happen. And I got home about 3 in the morning, because that night is always, the eve of the trading deadline is always a long evening. And took a nap, woke up to a note from Theo, hey, give me a shout. Call him, and he says, would you want Manny? And I said, we're not in a financial situation to take on any salary, so do I want Manny? The simple answer is yes. The complicated answer is, are you going to pay the entire salary? And he kind of balked at that. I said, well, if you have an interest, call me. We don't have a lot of time to dance here and to wait around and to figure it out. So that's really the condition of which I'll entertain the idea. Got to the stadium about 7:30, and sure enough, he calls back. He says, our ownership will pick up $7.5 million. And so we talked it through and got Pittsburgh involved, who we had involved with the Miami part of the three-way deal that didn't come about. So he knew what they needed. They needed Andy LaRoche. That's why he kept asking me for Andy. We also had Brian Morris, a relief pitcher we put in to that. And so that's how that deal came about, really at 1 o'clock square up, at the last possible moment you could do it, because you had to get commissioner approval because you had more than $2 million changing hands. The last thing I'll say about it is the story goes that the Red Sox clubhouse guy called Mitch Poole, who was the home clubhouse manager at that time, now in the visitor's clubhouse, and started giving him Manny Ramirez's hat size and shoe size and bat order. And Mitch says, why are you telling me all this stuff? He goes, you guys just acquired Manny Ramirez. And he says, get out of here. We didn't acquire Manny Ramirez. And then I called Mitch and said, yeah, we did acquire Manny Ramirez. So it came out of nowhere. And, a lot of cool things happened. Manny went on a great tear, 19 homers, I think, hit almost 400, and really gave our young players, to Matt Kemp's, to James Loney's, to Russell Martin's, a real good vision on how to compete and how to win at the highest level, and got us to the LCS the next 2 years.
All right, Ned, great story. Thanks for taking us inside that trade that occurred on this date back in 2008. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Day game, don't forget.
No, don't forget, David. Got to win it. Win the series. I'll talk to you then.
All right, sounds good. There he goes, Ned Colletti, former Dodger GM and now currently Sportsnet LA analyst. And I know the Manny home runs, Manny Wood, all that in 2008 is what everybody thinks about instinctually. But for me, when you bring up the 2008 Dodgers, there's one image that comes to mind. I was at the El Torito in Warner Center, right there on Canoga. And I was watching that first game in Chicago, and the Cubs were heavy favorites. They had won 100 games that season. Nobody thought the Dodgers would beat the Cubs in the NLDS that year in 2008. And the one image that comes to mind when somebody brings up 2008 for the Dodgers was James Loney's grand slam at Wrigley Field to really give the Dodgers the momentum in that series after stunning the Cubs in their home ballpark. And that That, for me, is the one swing of the bat, the one home run, the grand slam by James Loney in the 08 NLDS that really comes to mind. So it was a great season. The Dodgers had not had that type of excitement in a long time, and Manny certainly brought that buzz. And Andre Ethier talks about it all the time, what Manny Ramirez did for him and Kemp and the others when he came into that team and was around the batting cage. Similar, it's not the exact same thing because the Dodgers have veterans with Albert Pujols, but back then, those guys that were being relied upon were young guys in Kemp, Ethier, Loney, and they needed a guy like Manny Ramirez, and he certainly showed them some of the finer tips of hitting. And you heard Oral Hershiser say it during the broadcast, because Oral was a teammate with Manny when he was just coming up with the Cleveland Indians, and he said Manny was a baseball savant even then, had a very punctual schedule. And Andre Ethier actually told me that Manny a lot of times would get a bad rap for showing up late when the media was there before first pitch. And the reason why was because Manny already had come to the ballpark to take early batting practice. So he was already at the ballpark when nobody was there and would come back to the team hotel and then take the second late bus. And the media never knew that, but they all assumed that Manny was just showing up nonchalant. And that was the image that he portrayed. And you know what? It all worked out for him until 2009, that was not one of his finer moments, but 2008, it was a great year for Manny Ramirez and the Dodgers. Tomorrow, Julio Urias will be looking for his 13th win of the season. He is 12-3 with an ERA at 3.54. He's going up against Caleb Smith, who is 3-7 with an ERA of 4.61. Morongo Casino Dodgers on Deck begins at noon. First pitch at 1:10. And we did have a home run in tonight's game, so let's hear it, Colin.
Three bullpen guys out of the five had positive tests. Turner swings, hits a drive down the left field line. It's got a chance. It's gone. It's in the bullpen. And the Dodgers lead it 5-3. A two-run home run for Turner as he greets Stefan Crichton with a homer down the left field line. 19th home run of the season for Turner.
And that gave the Dodgers the lead that they would never relinquish in the seventh inning. And we would like to congratulate Natalie Blandino of Hawthorne, who receives a $50 Daniel's Jewelers gift card for correctly predicting the number of home runs in the game. For your chance to play, go to am570lasports.com and type in the keyword home run. And there are 100 different Daniel's locations for her to spend that $50 gift card at. Justin Turner's go-ahead home run in the seventh inning turned into a four-run inning for the Dodgers, and Albert Pujols was part of it as well. A pinch hit RBI single, another RBI base hit for Pujols in the ninth inning, and the Dodgers would go on to defeat the Diamondbacks 8-3. Thanks to Colin Yee and Kevin Figures, a special guest in the studio tonight. Thanks for their help, and also thanks to Dwayne McDonald at Dodgers Stadium. In case you missed any of the show, you can podcast it on the iHeartRadio app or at am570lasports.com. Once again, the final score at Chase Field. The Dodgers defeat the Diamondbacks 8-3. Have a great night. See ya.